We are holding on Hey Omar Alif. We learned yesterday, we finished yesterday by learning a braisa that mentions four different cases involving sales, which we were going to discuss that in view of what we learned yesterday, that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish had all said, at least the way we understood it, that you can't be koina with your keli if you place it in Rishus HaRakim. So we may as well run over the braisa real quick again, because now it's going to be the basis for the next bit of discussion in the Gemara. So in the middle of Pehei Omer Aleph, then, just about the middle of the Omer. I was just going to repeat the braisa that we learned at the very end yesterday, so that we can understand it a little better, since we're going to be basing our discussion on it now. Pehei Omer Aleph. Tashma, Arba Midas V'Moichrin. There are four different midas involving sellers. So we talked about yesterday that the Rashbam has one explanation of what we mean by Arba Midas, Tosfos has a different one, a number of different Rishonim have different explanations when we go through the Braisa, how exactly we divide it into four cases. Anyway. So the Rashbam says that you have, like this, case number one, where you have nothing belongs to any of them, not the midah, not the measuring thing that you're using to measure. It doesn't belong to the seller or the buyer. It belongs to, for example, a sarsur, or a go-between, who's the broker, who's brokering the deal. We'll talk about him. That's case number one, where and it's in Rishus HaRabim, or in a chaser that doesn't belong to either one of them. Case number two, it's also in a chaser, or it's also in a chaser that doesn't belong to either one of them, or Rishus HaRabim, but the midah, the keli, does belong to one or the other of them. Number three is where it's in the Rishus of the Mocher. Number four is where it's in the Rishus of the Lekeach. And number five is, that's the thing, because we have five cases in the Braisa, is why you have different explanations how exactly it breaks down into four. Which ones are we combining, basically? Yeah. Anyway, then you have another case of you had the goods were deposited by some third party, and now that third party is now transferring ownership of it to the Lekeach. So,
why didn't we start with that price?
Because we didn't. The Gemara often starts with a side issue and eventually brings the price in order to clarify things.
That's very...
Yeah, okay. So, I remit it for mostly. Case number one, Adshalan is Malamida, as long as the measuring utensil has not been filled up yet. Lamoicher, then what you're measuring with it belongs to the seller. Because, as we discussed yesterday, since the keli doesn't belong to either one of them, it was lent for the them by the sarasur, by the broker. Adshalan ismalo, until it's filled.
Yeah, it could still belong to one of them until it's filled.
The keli doesn't belong to either one of them. That's the keli doesn't belong to either one of them. We're going to say it in a minute. The braisa is going to spell that out. Therefore, the keli was lent to them for the purpose of broker. The broker lent it to them for the purpose of making this sale happen. Therefore, while the measurement is taking place, the goods that are being measured with it still belong to the mocher, in the sense that he can back out of the deal if the price goes up and decide that he can get a better price for it elsewhere, in the sense that if it spills, it's his loss. Yeah. Because up until that point, as long as it's being filled with, it's still considered to be in his possession. It was lent to him rather than to the lekeach, so to speak. Mishnah smala midah lekeach. Once it's filled up, then the contents of it belong to the lekeach, because then at that point, now it becomes effectively the lekeach's keli, because it was lent to him for that purpose, again, to be able to make the deal happen. When is this talking about if the measuring utensil doesn't belong to either one of them? Neither of
them. There needed to be an opinion. The filling the keli.
That's what we're talking about. No, that's what we're talking about. In other words, so that's what we're saying. If you have the keli was lent to them for the purpose of the measuring, which means, in other words, as soon as the measuring is finished, now the contents of it, now that keli becomes the lekeach keli. Well then,
without opinion.
It becomes his. It becomes his separation. It was lent to him. Therefore, it was lent to him, and therefore, at that point, it becomes his. You can't be kona with the mocher's keli unless you have mashicha or ragva or whatever. But if it's his keli, with his keli, that's all you need. You're kona with your own keli. As soon as it comes into your own keli, like this, it becomes his keli, and therefore, he's kona whatever's in it.
But we're saying here, it's not his keli
until it's filled. Mishen es mala midol lekeach. Once it's filled up, then it belongs to the buyer. But medvar amum midashena shoshnan, when is this talking about when the measuring utensil doesn't belong to either one of them? So it was lent to them by the sarasur or whoever. Avalim Hos a Midah Shel Echad Mehen, but if it was a Midah that belonged to one of them, which we said yesterday, that Rashbam says that one of them means it belongs to either one of them, doesn't matter whether the Moicher or the Lekeach. According to many other Rishonim, it means specifically the Lekeach. Rishon Rishon Kana. Then as it gets measured out, it belongs to that person, which means, going with the Rashbam's way, that means whether if it belongs to the Moicher, if the utensil belongs to the Moicher, it would mean, even once you filled it up, it's still Shal Moicher. The Lekeach has not been koine it yet, because he needs actual Mashiach. It's still Caleb Shal Moicher. He didn't specifically lend it to the other guy, therefore it's still his. And if it's a midah of the lekeach, then even before it gets filled up, as you're filling it up, each gallon that you pour into it or whatever becomes his. So now it's in his keli.
Doesn't need avshah because
it's keli. Yeah. But those are the first two cases. But medvar mum b'rishus harabim. When is all this talking about? When it's in rishus harabim, or v'chaser she'ena shel shnehen, or if it's in a chaser that doesn't belong to either one of them. Which, by the way, this is why we're bringing in this price over here, because yes, we finished saying yesterday that Rav and Shmuel and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan all hold that you can't be koneh with your own keli in rishus harabim. Seems from so far in the Braisa that you can. We're not using the terms Rishus Yochanan and Rishus Rabim as they are in Hilchos Shabbos. Rishus Rabim means a place that the Rabim own, and traffic is passing through there all the time. Anything other than that, so you have a Simta, for example, that we talked about yesterday, for purposes of Hilchos Shabbos, for example, a Simta may well be considered Rishus Rabim. You have Sidur Rishus Rabim, the area with the pillars over there that we talked about yesterday, but for purposes of Mecca Chomemka, the definitions are a little bit different than they are for Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, Aval Rishus Moicher, but if the Keli is in the Rishus of the seller, Loikana Ad Shiak Bihena, then he's not Kona unless he actually picks up the object, in which case then he's putting it in his own Rishus. Or until he takes it out of the Rishus of the Moicher. That's case number three. Rishus Lekeach, on the other hand, if it's in the Rishus of the Lekeach, if the Keli is in the Rishus of the Lekeach, Kivin Shekibel Olav Moicher, as soon as the Moicher accepts that he's going to sell it that he's going to sell it at such and such a price for per saw or whatever. Kona lekeach, and lekeach is kone immediately, even before it's measured out, because it's in his rishus. Again, even if it's the moicher's keli, because the keli is bottle to the rishus. We'll see later. We'll see. That's our assumption at this point. We'll see in the Gemara later. That's not so simple. But for the moment, that's how we're understanding the braisa. And the last case, Rishus Halah HaMufkadimah. Like, what if the goods were in the Rishus of a third party by whom they were deposited for safekeeping? Previously, the Moicher had deposited them by this person for safekeeping, and now he's selling it to somebody else. Moikana Adchi Kabal Olav. Then the Lekeach is not Koina until he accepts on him. Which means, the Rashbam says it means that he accepts it, means that the Shomer accepts that he will designate this Rishus as now belonging to the Lekeach so that he can be Kona the payers.
Halon means third party?
Well, Halon means the third party, yeah.
Literally means
that guy. That guy, yeah. Tosfos argues with that and says that Adshi Kabal Olav means that the Moicher accepts that this spot that was previously designated for his thing is now going to be owned by the Lekeach. Or unless the Lekeach rents that spot where the thing is located. Okay, thus far the Braisa. Now let's analyze it in terms of what we learned before about Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Katani Mia Birshus Rabim of Chata Shein Shoshnehen. Now the Mishnah mentioned that the case where you have a midah that doesn't belong to either one of them or a midah that belongs to one of them. We said that you can still have a kinyan take place as long, even if it's in Rishus Rabim or a chaser that doesn't belong to either one of them. My lab Rishus Rabim mamish l'chora. Doesn't the braisa mean literally we're in Rishus Rabim and we're saying it doesn't matter as long as it's the midah of the lekeach, then the lekeach is koina. So therefore, you see that even if the lekeach keli is in Rishus Rabim, he can be koina. So you're contradicting Rav and Shmuel, and you're contradicting what we understood Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan to be saying.
They said Simta.
Well, they didn't specifically say Simta. Rav and Shmuel specifically said Chutz Mirishos Rabin. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said Afilu Mirishos Rabin, but we explain that to mean that what we mean a Rishos Rabin, there we mean a Simta. This Braisa seems to be meaning Rishos Rabin literally. The answer is no. Loi, simta. Again, you can say that Rosh Hashanah Abim in the Spreisa also means a simta. Yeah. The problem with that is Vadrumya de Chotza Sheina Shal Shneim Katani. Okay, but the Braitha is comparing it to a case of a chotza that doesn't belong to either one of them.
A simta would.
A simta belongs to everybody in effect. Everybody is short from it.
Maybe it means just exclusively to both of them.
No, Sheina Shal Shneim, it doesn't belong to either one of them. In other words, neither one has rishus from the owners to place anything there. Well, that's similar to Rosh Hashanah Abim. That's not similar to a simta. A simta, anybody has the ability to place their kalim over there. The answer is my chotza sheina shal shneim nami deloy dehai kula veloy dehai kula elo dehavayu. You know what? When we say that it's a chotza that doesn't belong to either one of them, fakir, we don't mean it doesn't belong to either, it doesn't belong to Reuven or Shimon. It belongs to Levi. It means it's not a chotza that belongs only to Reuven, and it's not a chotza that belongs only to Shimon. It belongs to both of them. It's a chotza of shutvin. The same way as a simta, in other words. But yes, we don't have to understand the braisa to be saying that if it was in a literal Rosh Hashanah Abim, or if it was in a chotza belonging to Levi, that sort of thing would work. It wouldn't work, as Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon and Rosh Lachish are talking about. Yeah. So that's the maskana, therefore. So we haven't contradicted what those four Amoraim said based on this braisa, and therefore we're good. And therefore we're good. So if in Rosh Hashanah Abim or in a chotza that doesn't belong to either one of them, you can't be koneh with your kelim. You would have to be koneh with hagbah or by meshicha, by schlepping it from there into your own rishus. A simta, for example, could work, or into your own rishus, whatever. But other than that, no. Just having your kelim over there is not going to work.
So we are in agreement. The braisa
yeah.
is in agreement.
So the braisa can be made to work in agreement with those four amoraim. Okay. Now another case. Bominer of sheshes merav huna. What about if you have the keli belongs to the lekeach, but we're in the reshus of the seller. So, for example, we agreed on a price. We measured it into my keli, me being the lekeach, but we're standing over here in the moichers chotzer.
So it's in the mouth, but the keli we said before is bottled to the reshus.
That's what we were arguing before. Now we were supposing that. Now we're going to revisit that and see whether in fact that's the case. Yeah. Kona lekeach or loy. Is the lekeach kona, because after all it's in his keli, or not? Maybe the reshus is the main thing. Maybe the keli is bottled to the reshus.
It can be either way. The keli yeah. to the reshus or the reshus to the keli.
Well, not really the reshus to the keli, but you could say you ignore the reshus. Yes, the reshus yeah. belongs to the moicha, but the keli is right out in the keli. We ignore where the keli is. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos says the difference is when it comes to a keli and reshus rabim, the difference is you can't very well ask permission from all the bnei reshus rabim to place your keli over there. Here, it's in the reshus of the moicha. Yeah, everybody owns it, and therefore nobody owns it. Effectively, right. Nobody's able to give him permission. Right. Mashenkin, if it's in the reshus of the chotzer, now the gemara of the moicher. Now the gemara is going to talk about soon. You can have a case where the moicher explicitly tells him, "Be koneh using your keli." Fine, that's different. That's different. But if he doesn't specifically tell him, he still may give him permission to put his keli over there, but not necessarily does that constitute a kinyan. So that's the question. In other words, in a reshus of Abim, we know for sure it doesn't work because nobody is able to give him permission. The moicher at least is able to give him permission to put his keli over there, but that's not the same thing as saying that he can actually be koneh with a keli over there.
Or is it?
That's the question. Amalei, yeah. So Rav Huna answers, Tinisua. Well, we learn a Mishnah that bears on that. We learn a Mishnah in the Masechta Gittin. Tinisuha means we have learned it, meaning we have learned a Mishnah that bears on this, that will answer your question. If you throw it, meaning a get, into the wife's cheka, into a fold in her clothing, usually, by the way, cheka means her lap, but we're going to see as we go through the Gemara, that can't really mean her lap, literally, it has to mean like into a fold of her clothing. Or he throws it into her kelas, which is a work basket that women use. The Rashbam describes they put needles and then spinning forks and things like that. And they put their sewing, their weaving stuff or whatever. Yeah, their sewing kit, their knitting needles, whatever. Yeah, ha'reizim begurashin. Then that works. It's a valid gerushin, even if she's standing in the reshus of the on the face of it. Even if she's standing in the reshus of the husband. It still works. So we see that the keli is not bottled to the reshus. Exactly. It can be kind of as long as it landed in her keli, in her clothes or her kelas, and it works.
Even though the keli
is in her husband's reshus. Yeah. Amalei Rav Nachman. However, Rav Nachman says to him, my time of pashtus le'me'ahi. Why are you trying to answer the question on the basis of that Mishnah? Don't you realize the machula me'a uchli ba'uchla? They've already struck this 100 times with an ukhla. An ukhla is the name of a weight. An ukhla is the name of a weight. We're going to have in a few days on Daf Tzadik. An ukhla is a small weight. We're going to have it within in a few dafim. We're going to have toymen v'ukhla. So it means, in other words, in the art school Gemara, they said, I don't know exactly where they're getting this from. Maybe this is how they understood Rashbam. Imagine you have, for example, like a whip. You have like a cat of nine tails, and at the end of each one of the tails, you put like a little ukhla over there, and you start hitting with it. Yeah, it'll cause damage.
Oh, yeah.
So over here, in other words, what we mean is it's a figure of speech. In other words, we've already slugged that up any number of times. You can't possibly understand the Mishnah that way. You have to understand it. You have to understand it in one of a number of other ways, which we're going to mention next.
Small weight?
It's a small weight, but if you have a bunch of them on a whip, then yeah, it's, you know. So Rabbi Nagershim, Meya Uchli Ba'Uchla, they've struck it 100 Uchli, 100 Uchla blows with an Uchla. Rabbi Nagershim gives a different explanation. Ukhla being a weight, then it means like they've measured out. They've measured out many, many questions against it. They pointed out many, many questions against it. Anyway, the Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, because in fact you should know, we don't just understand that Mishnah at face value that we're just talking about, that Sam, she's standing in the husband's reshus and it lands in her clothes or in her keles, in her work basket, and therefore it's good without anything else. We have to say that there are certain specific cases involved. For example, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that we have to dafka be talking about where the kelas is hanging off her. It's not laying on the ground. If it was laying on the ground, then it's a kelas, a work basket. We just said that she holds her needles and whatnot. If it was sitting on the ground, it might not work. But because it's actually...
Remember, we had a case where we had a stone, and he put the stone was in harbor.
That's we said the stone had to belong to her. The stone had to be something that belonged to her.
In her forearm, wasn't it?
No, we said that the stone actually had to belong to her. Yeah. Either he rented it to her or it actually belonged to her in the first place. Yeah.
Rent a rock.
Yeah.
So she didn't hold the stone.
No, but because then it's her chatzah. The basket is not her chatzah. The basket is her keli.
Wait, the basket belongs to her.
It's not her chatzah. It's a keli. So... only if it's tied to her, it's not actually hanging. It's not actually laying on the ground. Therefore, sure, it's an extension of her. It's an extension of her body. The Rashbam uses the expression "de domi lagba." When it lands in the basket, it's similar to lagba. It's similar to being kind of a kinyan lagba.
Now they're saying this basket's hanging from her because if she was holding the basket, then it would be like she grabbed it on her hand, she would know already. Is that what you're saying?
No. But the point is, in other words, when we say that tsluyaba means ve'ena nigreres bakarka, it's not. It's tied. It's secure.
Oh,
it's secure enough with her
to exclude
lying on the ground.
Lying on the ground.
Yeah.
What about if it's lying on the ground and there's a long handle and she holds the handle?
According to this explanation, no. But the next one, Rish Lakish says you don't even need that. As long as it's tied or attached to her, even if it's not actually hanging, even if it's on the ground, nevertheless that would still work, says Rish Lakish.
One second.
Yeah.
But if the hand is like as if your own forearm.
Well, if it lands in her hand, there's no question. It's good.
Right, but one second. If you just touch your ship with your hand.
No, because you didn't actually.
Under it.
No, if you put your hand under the ship. No, but that's not really hagbah.
If
that's
you lift
you
the ship up with your hand.
Yeah, then I suppose you'd be cutting it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And so more answers. More answers. Rabbi Ada Ba'ava Amar Kugan Shehoisa Kalasim Unachas Laben Yachaseya. Here's another possibility. Let's say the kelas is on the ground, but she's sitting. She's sitting over there, let's say cross-legged or whatever. The kelas is in front of her, between her legs on the ground. Well then, a person is not going to be machped on the place where his wife sits. Up until that point, she had that as sort of a place of a temporary kinyan. She was entitled to sit there. So even now, she's entitled to sit there. She's entitled to have a basket there within the area where she's sitting. Therefore, that could also work. But again, not because it's a matter of it being a keli in somebody else's reshus,
right?
But because that little area itself is her reshus, kind of. Remember, Sharshi Abredir of Ami Yama, and yet another one, Remember, Sharshi Abredir of Ami says.
Why does it have to be, if it's a reshus, why does the basket have to be, there has to be a basket between her legs? It could.
It doesn't, then, if there wasn't a basket there, and it landed in that space where she's sitting cross legged, that could also maybe work, yeah. Okay, fine. Here's another possibility. Let's say her husband sells kalosis. So therefore, the Rashbam says he doesn't care. He has a storehouse or whatever where he has a bunch of kalosis. Therefore, he doesn't mind if there's one more kalos in his rishus.
Kalos
is the plural of kalos.
Basket.
Is this basket? Yeah. There's other explanations among Rishonim, including, for example, that one interesting one is, given that he sells kalosis, it means, and if he runs out, if everybody buys up his stock, he'll be happy to have another one around as long as it's in saleable condition. But fine, he'll take it so he can sell another one, and he'll reimburse her another time for it. So therefore, he won't mind having that kalos around. But again, not necessarily in a more gentle way.
After the divorce, he won't rush to give her any money.
No, but if he buys it from her, then he's going to have to give her another one. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mokam Cheka Konulah Mokam Kalosa Konulah. And a fifth possibility is Rabbi Yochanan says you don't even need any of that. The place where her chek, the place where her clothes, where her clothes are dragging along on the ground, that place is kunri to her. That place is temporarily acquired by her because she has a right to be there and to have her clothes be dragging on the ground. Similarly, mokam kalosa kanula. Similarly, even if the kelas is on the ground next to her or whatever, they're not attached to her and the husband doesn't sell kalosas or anything like that, but that place is kunri to her. So on that basis, and you can use any of these explanations to say why it works in the case of a get. None of them require to say that in a more general case where you have the keli of the lakeach in the reshus of the meicher, where none of these considerations apply, that it should work. So what are you, so that's what Rav Nachman is saying. What are you, Rav Huna, trying to bring a proof from that Mishnah? We have five different explanations. Because that's the whole point. In that Gemara and Gittin, we discuss that, and we say it doesn't work according to the simple meaning, precisely for that reason, because it's not necessarily, because not necessarily do we say that the keli of the lekeach works in the reshus of the meicher. This very question that we have over here, and precisely because of that, we have to offer all these different answers. So how do you try and prove in that mission? Okay. Ela pshoit lo meha. No, so okay, fine. You can't answer from that. Okay, however, we can answer that you're not koine if you have your keli in the reshus of the meicher on the basis of the braisa that we quoted before. Reshus meicher lekana, that if the keli is located in the reshus of the meicher, you're not koine ad sheyagvihena until you do hagbah on the thing you're buying, or ad sheyatiena mereshusa, or until you take it out of the reshus of the meicher and then put it in the lekeach's reshus. My lav keli of the lekeach. L'chora, isn't that braisa talking about a case where you measured using the lekeach keli? There you have keli shel lekeach v'reshus meicher, and we're saying it doesn't work. So that would answer the question. The answer is like the keli of the meicher. No, not necessarily. You could say it's talking about the keli belongs to the meicher because now it's completely in the reshus of the meicher. The keli is his, the reshus is his, so there's nothing of the lekeach at all. However,
the answer to the question of whether or not.
So we can't prove yet from that braisa about keli of shalakeach. Could be that if the lakeach was using his own keli, even if it's the reshus of the meicher, it would work. Maybe not. Maybe the braisa is talking about keli of shalakeach. The problem with that is when we did reshus of a keli of the meicher, fine, but if we're going to understand it like that, that if we're going to say that the first case is talking about that using the meicher's keli, safer nami the keli of the meicher, then we would have to say the next part of the braisa is also talking about where it's the meicher's keli. Ema safer, however, continue, the braisa continues, b'reshus lekeach, kibin shekibol al meicher kona lekeach. We're saying if it's in the reshus of the lekeach, as soon as the meicher agrees that he's going to sell this, that he's going to sell these goods for such and such a price, then the lekeach is immediately kona. He the keli of the meicher, am I kona lekeach? If it's using the meicher's keli, why should the, if you're going to argue that the keli of the lekeach is able to be koneh in the reshus of the meicher, then the reverse should also be true. The keli of the meicher should make it that you cannot be koneh even if you're in the reshus of the lekeach. If we're going to say we look at the keli independent of the reshus around it, then in that case, the keli of a lekeach will be koneh, the keli of a meicher will not. But if you're saying the braisa is talking about keli of a meicher, so what are you telling me? If you're in the reshus of the lekeach, you're koneh. The iba keli of the meicher, am I koneh lekeach? Manavshech, if you're going to say that you go according to the keli, then either way, you would have to say that if it's the meicher's keli in the lekeach's reshus, it doesn't work. And if it's the lekeach's keli in the meicher's reshus, it doesn't work. And if you're going to say one works, the other has to work. And yet the braisa is saying that all it depends on is, the braisa seems to be saying all it depends on is whose reshus it's in. Which means if you say that we're talking about the keli of the meicher, then you have a problem. The answer is Sefer Asar and Lekilia de Lekea. Okay, you can answer that. No, the Braita is switching views. First, it was talking about that the Moicher has the Keli and it's in his own Rishus. The next,
assume that the Sefer is not like that.
That's what we're going to ask. That's what we're going to ask. But we can assume, we can understand, we can say that the Braita means, why is it you're not Kona in the Rishus of the Moicher? Because the Moicher is using his Keli. Why is the Lekea in the Resha?
And the Sefer,
why is he Kona? Because it's the Rishut of the Lekeach, and it's the Keli of the Lekeach.
Well, that's obvious.
We mentioned Abba Midas, we mentioned there's four different cases. So fine, we have to mention all the possible cases. But the question is, as you just asked, my sucker, so what makes you say as a definitive thing that always in the Mercher's Rishut you're going to be using the Mercher's Kelim, and in the Lekeach's Rishut you're going to be using the Lekeach's Kelim? The answer is yes. It's more logical to say that in the Rishus of the Moicher, usually he is going to be using his own Keli.
Implying if he doesn't,
then that would be different. But no, and if you use the Rishus of the Lekeach, the Kelim of the Lekeach, maybe you could argue he is Kohen, but the Braita is not getting into that detail. We could say, we don't know. The Braita is equivalent about that, yeah. Be lekeach, money the lekeach shechi, and in the house of the lekeach, usually the lekeach, the kelim of the lekeach are more commonly what would be used. So therefore, yeah. So in other words, so we had again the Braisa had mentioned arba midas for moichrim. So what we mean is now we're understanding the Braisa that if you're in the rishus of the moicher, there's not going to, says the Rashbam, this is what we're understanding the Braisa to mean. Now, if you're in the Rishus of the Moicher, under normal circumstances, there will be, given that usually in the Rishus of the Moicher, either you're using the Moicher's Kalim or you're using the Kalim that belong to a third party, there's not going to be any way for you to be Koine except with Hagbah or doing the Shecha of it to your own Rishus.
And
the same thing, if you're in the Rishus of Lekeach, usually you will be Kona right away because usually you're using your own Keli. The Braita may not be talking about the unusual cases where you're in the Rishus of the Moicher but using the Lekeach Keli or vice versa.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't prove one way or the other.
You cannot prove because it's not Shkicha.
Maybe it's not Shkicha and therefore the Braita doesn't mention it. Okay. All
right.
Toshma. Okay, but come, I'll try to bring a proof from another case. A proof on this question. Can you be Kona with the Kalim of the Lekeach in the Rishus of the Moicher or not? Yeah. So, Moshe Chamor of Apollo. If somebody is pulling along his donkey driver or his workers, V'ichnisam L'seich Beisei, and he brings them into his house. Now, the Rashbam says, with the Girsa that we have over here, Chamorov or Poyalov, we would have to be talking about the fact that the Chamorim or the Poyalim belong to the Moicher, and it's the Lekeach bringing them into his house. We're talking about Yichnissim or Sefeser, we're talking about the Pashtus that the Lekeach is bringing them into his house. Tosfos says that maybe not, actually. Tosfos says, no, the Girsa should actually be Chamorim or Poyalim. These are donkey drivers or workers. They don't belong to either one of them in particular. Because if it was Hamar Rav or Payalav, it wouldn't mean, like the Rashbam says, ones that belong to the Moicher. It would mean ones that belong to the Lekeach. And if they're his Hamarim and Payalim, obviously he's Koina as soon as they're loaded on their donkeys. They were Koina. So Hamarim and Payalim.
Was the Lekeach Koina?
If he has his chamorim or his poyalim loading up a sack of grain onto the donkey, he's koina right away. He's koina. We're going to see in the braisa. We're going to see the braisa is going to say that he's only koina once he unloads it in his house.
So we're talking about bags here.
Yeah.
That's all. Not the son.
The bag.
Hichnis son means he brought them the chamorim or poyalim. So is it his chamorim and his poyalim?
Oh.
If it's the lekeach chamorim or poyalim, why do you need to bring him into his house? He's coined even before they brought it into his house. So that's the thing. So the Rashbam has to understand, given that he accepts the girsa chamor rov or poyalim, he would have to understand that it means the moicher's chamorim and poyalim. Tosfos says that instead the girsa is chamorim or poyalim, meaning that they don't belong to either one of them. Therefore, there's no king until it reaches his house.
That's more of a chiddush.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
What's being bought here?
Tavu or whatever.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything, but
yeah. In other words,
that he drags into his rishus.
So once he unloads them in his house, as we're going to say in a second, then at that point he's koneh. In other words, the point is, if it was the lekeach's own donkey drivers or his own workers, he would have been koneh long before.
Oh, wouldn't he be koneh when he's picking up the sacks to put on his donkey?
No, he wasn't involved putting it on the donkey.
In the Mishnah, he brings from rishus harabim to the sinter. We never said he had to unload in the center.
Because he himself is the one who's unloading over here. He didn't load them up on the animals. He brought the chamorim and the poyalim in. He didn't actually do meshicha on the objects themselves. When he takes them off the donkeys, yes, then he's doing agvah. He's doing meshicha on them.
He did not do it.
Yes. Okay. So bein posak actually modded or bein modded actually posak. Whether they agreed on a price, but he didn't yet measure, or whether he measured out the amount that he planned to buy, but they didn't yet agree on a price, or Tosfos adds actually even if both, even if they did measure and they did agree on a price, Shnei Nicholim Lachzabah, and nevertheless both of them, the Mocher and the Lekeach, are able to renege and then back out of the deal because there hasn't been a Kenyan yet. Yes. On the other hand, when he, and it doesn't matter which one of them it is, whether it's the Moichah or the Lekeach or the third parties or whatever, unloads it and brings them into his house, so now it's being placed in the Rishus of the Lekeach, then it depends. Pasach Adshalei Mazad, if they made a deal, how much it's going to be, what the price is going to be, even if, and they did that before they measured, before they measured out the actual amount that they unloaded, Ein Shnei Nicholim Lachzabahen, neither one is able to renege on the deal because now there's been a kinyan. Mazad Adshalei Pasach, but if you only measured and you didn't decide on a price yet. Shnei Nicholim Lachzabahen, both of them are able to change their mind and back out of the deal because there hasn't been a kinyan yet. Now, what is the nature of this kinyan over here? The Rashbam says that we're not actually talking about a kinyan of Mashiach. What we're talking about is this is kinyan chosiv. It was brought into his rishus. It's now in his chosiv.
So why did he have to unload that?
That because once it's unloaded, it's in his chosiv.
It's in his chosiv even if it's not unloaded.
No, because then it's still on the animals. The animals again belong either to the mocher or to the or to a third party, as the case may be. The Rashbam brings a different explanation that maybe what we're talking about is that we're talking about if you bring it into his rishus amounts to meshicha. But the Rashbam says, I don't like that, because the whole point we're trying to figure out over here is whether his rishus, whether his keli works or not. What is meshicha relevant to that? Tosfos brings up a different point, which is you could argue maybe a keli is bottled to the rishus. You could argue I have my keli and your rishus, it's bottled to the rishus, and therefore it doesn't work. Maybe an animal is different. If it's your animal and my rishus, you're not going to say it's bottled to it. And if my animal and your rishus, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Now. So, what's the proof from this b'raisa? Given then that we're saying that if it's on the kalim of the seller, and it's in the rishus of the lekeach loykana, then he wasn't yet koneh because we said you have to unload it off the animal. No, but Tosfos mentioned that idea that maybe a keli can be bottled, but a behemah not.
Right.
The Gemara seems to be assuming that it's not like that yet. Caleb de Lekeach Nami Bishus Mocha Lekona. Then, by analogy, it should be the other way around. The Kaili of the Lekeach and the Rishus of the Mocher would also, well, if you unload it, it's in the Rishus of the Mocher, you're still not trying it.
Right.
You'd have to bring it into your own Rishus. Or you'd have to do Agbah, which also brings it into your own Rishus, into your
hand.
Of the Lekeach and the Rishus of the Mocher Lekona. Yeah.
Well, that's obvious, isn't it?
They should be.
In the Rishus of the Lekeach, until he unloads, he doesn't apply it. For sure.
The Gemara is assuming that those two things are parallel. We're going to see when we finish with this. The Gemara is not actually.
Now. Later on, I don't know.
Up until now, we're assuming
sure.
The two cases are parallel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But wait. Omer of Nachum Yitzchak. So Nachum Yitzchak says maybe not because Vishashofchan. Because maybe what we're talking about is when we say that you unloaded it, maybe it means that you spilled them out. You spilled out the contents of the bags onto the ground. Well, then there's no keli.
why does he think it's in the shuffle?
Well, that's what he's arguing. Maybe you can't prove one way or the other from this braisa. If you had taken off the sacks intact and you're buying the sacks and their contents, fine. But now you have Caleb show, you have Kilya Shalakeya. That's what Rava is going to ask on that. Rava is going to object to that. But Rav Nachman Yitzchak considers that an acceptable solution. That
Kirkan
could mean shafan, that you didn't take off the bags off the animal intact, where then you could say that the bags constitute a keli, and it's the keli of the moicher and the rishus of the lekeach, or the keli of the lekeach, or whatever. You could be talking about where you spill them out, where they're in your rishus, but there's no keli involved. You can't prove one way or the other.
Right.
However, ikpad Rava. However, Rava was machbir on that. That the Rava who brought up this contradiction in the first place was upset that Rav Nachman Reitzchok, his Talmud, came up with such an answer. Midi shofchan katani pirkan katani. The Braita didn't say anything about pouring them out. It said he took them out. He took them down, which implies that the bags are unloaded, still intact.
Right.
So then you do have a keli. Elo amma ma'abu Ravashi b'misachli d'tumi. No, however, ma'abu Ravashi is the son of Ravashi. It was a couple of generations later than Rava and Rav Nachman Yitzchak. He says maybe you could argue the Braita is talking about, for example, packages of garlic. Those are just loaded on the animal as is without bags. So maybe only in that case, only once you unloaded them from the animal are you kind of them, because now they're in your rishon.
So garlic is like tied to something.
Tied or whatever, yeah.
And so they would break off.
Maybe not. I don't know. I guess they had a way of putting that it wouldn't. But you don't necessarily put them in bags. If you put them in bags, then you could argue that maybe that if they're in bags, you could argue that maybe he's kind of them, that maybe he's not kind of them, because if he's buying, again, we have to consider, is he buying the bags or not? Let's say he's not buying the bags. Caleb Shomer, commercial Slakea. That might not work. Why is he kohen immediately? It's unloaded into his house, because it's unloaded directly onto the floor. It's now in his rishus, and there's no kohen involved. Okay. However, as a side thing, then huna breda mazutra asks Ravina, nechti pirkan katani. Given that we're saying ultimately you unloaded them into the rishus of the lekeach, so if he's koneh them because of his rishus, mali pasak or mali loy pasak, who cares whether they agreed on a price or not? This is sort of a side thing. You're telling me that if it was unloaded into his rishus, and then by assumption we're saying,
how can you acquire something without having a price set?
Because it means, in other words, the seller has agreed to sell it to him. They just haven't agreed on a price yet.
So then he's going to say, okay, it's in your rishus, we agreed to sell. Boom. Now you owe me $1 million. I mean.
No, they agreed to sell. They haven't fixed the price yet, but he agreed to sell it to him. Once they agree, eventually, when they agree on a price, why shouldn't he be koina retroactively from when it was unloaded? Why are you telling me that he's not koina? Why are you telling me that there can be a case where shnei and yecholim lachzibah, and you measured out, I'm going to be buying X amount at the current market rate. We haven't yet decided whether it's going to be exactly, it's not going to be $1 million, but is it going to be $9 a bundle, or is it going to be $10 a bundle? We haven't figured that out yet. Nevertheless, we're saying you're not koina. Why not? It was already measured out. I'm planning to buy this amount.
No,
we know at least
what that's why.
Huna breda mazutra, assume that shouldn't make a difference. Amalei, however, Ravina answers him, there is a difference. Pasak samchadaite, le pasak le samchadaite. The difference is, if a price was fixed, then there was a smichos das. That's just it, because then he's fairly guaranteed that there was going to be a kinyan taking place over here. If the price wasn't fixed, because the price may go up, and the price may go up,
and
the Rashbam adds, actually, the given that there's no fixed price, there's no prevailing price for this kind of thing necessarily, then if loy pasach, yes, the moicher is going to be trying to try bargaining up. Well, the keach is going to try bargaining down. The sale may not end up happening.
Right.
Therefore, it doesn't work.
Right.
Okay. Now, at this
point... Well, that seems to be pretty...
Okay,
obvious.
But it has to be pointed out. Now... At this point in the discussion, though, it means, and this is the Gemara leaves off the discussion at this point, because now we're going to get we have one more thing. Amalei Ravina Ravashi Toshma, come, I'll try to bring one more proof to this question about this question that we've been discussing about Caleb Shalakeach versus Meicher. Toshma, the Rav Shmuel de Amitavai, Kalev Shalom, Kernelai Bechomachim. We said at the beginning of the Sugya that Rav and Shmuel both agree that a person's Kaili can be Kernel for him Bechomachim. Now, what is Bechomachim? Lasuyamai? What would the word Bechomachim come to include? Lav Lasuyah Rishus Moicher. Wouldn't that come to include the case where it's in the Rishus of the seller? And that should prove that the answer is yes. Yes. The answer is no. Hasim de No, because that could be a specific case. That could be where the mocher specifically says, I want you to be able to be koina with your keli. That's a stronger thing than just giving him a rishus to place his keli over there. That amount,
when it's in the rishus of the mocher, to say kni.
If he said zilkni, there's no question it works. There's no question, then there's no question it works, because then effectively what he's done is he's lent out that spot where the keli is located, that temporarily it becomes volokeach, and therefore of course that works. The question is, if he doesn't say that, if the lekeach just puts down his keli, the mocher doesn't tell him, pick up your keli, I don't want it in my rishus, but he also doesn't say zilkni, then what happens? Now, the Gemara leaves that the whole question unresolved, which leads to a machlokas rishonim, what's the maskana? Do we say, therefore, that it is a suffix whether it works, or do we say it definitely doesn't work? One interesting, in Shulchan Aruch HaPaskin, most of the Rishonim hold that most of the Rishonim have, it definitely doesn't work. Many of the Rishonim hold that it definitely doesn't work. And Shulchan Aruch HaPaskin that way.
Isn't that related to pricing? Could it work once it set a price?
No, once they set a price. Again, we're talking about they may have set a price, they may have measured and everything, but it's in the Rishus of the Mocher, but it's the Kaili of the Mocher.
The Mocher sets a price, it needs a Rishus. Isn't that the equivalent of canceling his rishus?
No. Only if he tells him, zilkni.
Only if he tells you.
So, in Shulchan Aruch HaPaskin, that it means it's definitely not koina, kill your shalakeach, the rishus mocher, is definitely not koina. On the other hand, they're all rishonim, if the lakeach has his keli and the rishus of the mocher. They're Shulchan Aruch HaPaskin that way. On the other hand, they're all rishonim, for example, the Tur learns this way, the Ramah learns this way, a couple of others. The Gemara has left it as a suffix. What does that
mean?
Well, what does that mean that it's a suffix? Actually, the Ramah coins the Tur, for the Tur brings from the Ramah an interesting nakamina if you say that it's a suffix. Imagine you have me and you, the Lekeach and the Kohen. Let's say we have, the Lekeach and the Mosher, Let's say I the Lekeach, had my Keli in your Rishus of the Mocher, and you put something in it.
Right.
And then, at the same time, or at some time later, we have the opposite. We have the opposite kind of thing. You had your Keli in my Rishus, and I sold you something that was placed into that Keli. If we say that it's a suffix, a suffix means Memonavshech, one or the other of them has got to be valid. In those two cases, if one of them is not sold, the other one is, and vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So therefore, what it would mean is, let me rephrase that. Not that we're talking about that we're selling to each other. You're selling to me, and I have my Kaylee in your Rishus. At the same time, you are buying from somebody using your Kaylee, which is in my Rishus. So we would say then that actually what it means is one or the other of the sales is valid. We don't know which one. So at least one or the other of them has to be valid. And therefore that would mean that
only one.
But we don't know which one. So it would mean whichever one is worth less, you have to give him. If the guy wants to prove that he's going to get the one that's worth more, he's going to have to prove that the halacha is that way, and he can't do that. But at least he'll be entitled to the lesser one. As opposed to if we go like what the Shulchan Aruch says, that and then like many other Rishonim say, that it means that the conclusion is it definitely doesn't work, then that's it. It definitely doesn't work. It doesn't work, and that's that.
Like if you have a suffix, chalev or shuman, and I ate one and you ate one.
Yeah. Okay.
Then whatever you do there, do you remember?
So I think with Bazaar Chazer or Vasachas, depends whether they asked, I think.
Right, so that would be Vasachas, what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Okay. Yeah.
So it would have to be Vasachas. Okay. So if we both ate it Vasachas, we'll probably
I don't know who here that would be. I don't know that he would be.
And bring a Corbin.
Yeah, I don't know that he would. I don't know that he would be Vasachas versus Bazaar Chazer, but okay. Anyway, all that is only according to the Ramah and the Tur and the other Rishonim who learn that way. That it's a matter of a suffix. Again, the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch is it's not a suffix. It definitely, the Gemara, even though the Gemara has left it unconcluded, it means it definitely doesn't work.
Okay.
Onward. Tannhäuser. Now, let's go back to the basic concept that we're talking about so far, that we have, you know,
many places in the tour that goes, that is paskins against the halacha.
Well, the tour held that was the halacha, right? I mean, the Balaturim being one of the Rishonim, he's entitled to decide what the halacha is, but the Mechaber, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he most of the time, he took the opinions of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, and usually he passed them like the majority among the three of them. The tour, sometimes, but usually not. That's usually the Ramah does that. The Ramah is usually the one who brings in.
The tour
most of the time goes according to his father, the Rosh. So fine, the Rosh is one of the big.
Ashkenazim.
Sort of. Sometimes that's the case. Not always true. It's not always true, but sometimes it is. For example, you have a number of times, you have a number of cases where they're not, for example, the Rambam paskins one way, the Rosh paskins another way,
right.
The Mechaber agrees with the Rambam, and the Torah brings what the Rosh says, and not the Torah, the Ramah brings what the Rosh says. Yeah, so it happens.
But it's not, because the Rambam relies on just the Rosh.
The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber relies on the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh.
Right,
and usually he passes two out of the three of them.
Right.
Although not always. Sometimes he goes according to the Rambam, even when he disagrees with both of them.
Right.
The two usually goes according to the Rosh, but not always.
But that's what I'm saying. So the Rambam,
you mean the Ramah?
No, I mean the Tur. The Tur was the son of the Rosh. The Balaturim was the son of the Rosh.
I thought you were talking about
the Ramah. The Ramah also. But
the Ramah goes like Tosfos sometimes.
Yes, certainly. Yeah.
But he also goes like the Rosh in exclusion of the Rif and the Rambam if the Mechaber went like the Rif and the Rambam because he had precedent.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why I'm saying it's not cut and dry. Ashkenazi,
and the other one relies on one or two opinions.
The tour will bring many different opinions from many different Rishonim. Most of the time, the bottom line halacha will be, he'll bring from the Rosh, he'll bring from Rabbi Yonah, he'll bring from the Ramah, he'll bring from the Rambam, not the Ramah, the Ramah, he'll bring from the Ramah, he'll bring from many Rishonim before him. The tour holds usually like his father, the Rosh, but not always. Okay. All right.
Most of the time
the halacha. So if you have the Mechaber versus the Ramah, you don't have any higher authority. Usually Sfardim will follow the Mechaber, Ashkenazim will follow the Ramah. Not always, but that's a good general rule. But then you also have to consider what the Neisa Kalim bring in. You have to consider the opinions of the Shach and the Taz and the Mogen Avraham and the Chalkas Mechalkek and so on and so forth bring in. So it gets complicated. That's why the Alter Rebbe wrote his Shulchan Aruch to clarify things. But
in other words, ask your local rabbi.
They're ultimately doing that.
He probably doesn't know.
Okay. but there is an important point, a Rav Hasiyat the Deshmaya. But there is an important point, which we've talked about before, and we'll have later on in our Masechta, actually, that when you have a machlokas in halacha, which has not been resolved, such as between the Mechaber and the Ramah, a person in a din Torah is entitled to say kimli.
Right.
I hold that the halacha should be like that opinion, and therefore I'm entitled to, and therefore you can't.
You better know which opinion when you say that.
Well, yeah. Okay, let's go on. Tannhäuser. We learn in a Mishnah and Kiddushin. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the more basic concept of the different kinds of kinyanim. We know we've talked about those Meshicha, those Hagbah, those Mesira, etc. Tannhäuser. Nechosim sheyesh lahen achrayus nitnin bekesef v'shtar v'chazaka. Nechosim that have achrayus, namely karka and avodim too, can be acquired with kesef, with paying money, or shtar, or chazaka. V'she'ela and achrayus, nechosim that do not have achrayus, namely metalpilin, ein nitnin ela b'meshicha. Those can only be acquired with meshicha.
We said that sometimes metalpilin have achrayus.
What?
Sometimes
it can be a very, very rare thing if you did it in a kinyan agav, if you wrote it into a shtar, it's a very rare thing. Usually nechosim hasha'im la'en achrayus, in the sense that if you can't use them as security for a loan, for example, and so forth. Yeah.
So why meshicha not also agvar?
That's what we're going to discuss. The surah masnu l'lahoshmai to b'shmei de Rav Chisda. So in surah they taught the following discussion on this Mishnah in the name of Rav Chisda. Well, masnu l'mashmei de Rav Kahana, ba'amu l'mashmei de Rav. And Pupadissa, they learned it in the name of Rav Kahana, or others say in the name of Rav. The following discussion, that goes like this. Loishonu, this that the Mishnah says that you can only acquire metalpilin with Meshicha, el dvarim shein darkin lagbiyah. This only applies to things which are not normally picked up. Aval dvarim shdarkan lagbia, things that are normally picked up. Hagbah ain't the mashicha loy. For those, only hagbah works, mashicha does not work. Namely, in other words, the basic idea is the chachamim did not want to make that there's going to be a lot of different kinds of methods of kinyan for any particular thing. So the minimum number of possible ways to be kone is how to do it. So something that you're capable of being magbia, something light, that should be the way to do it. Don't do mashicha on it. Something that, practically speaking, you can't really lift up, then the chachamim will allow you to do mashicha instead.
So by default, when you cannot do akba, you do mashicha.
Basically. So, Yosef Abaya v'kama l'hoshmai. Just now Abaya was sitting and telling over and repeating over this explanation, this discussion. However, Esver of Adab Amasna l'Abaya, but then Rav Adab Amasna comes and asks a stira to Abaya from a braisa. A stira to what we just said. This that was saying that something that's normally hagbar that. Capable of being picked up, you can only acquire it with hagbah. A braisa says, "Hagoin of kis b'shabbos chayev." If somebody steals a wallet on, I think it's a mishnah actually in Sanhedrin, whatever. If somebody steals a wallet on Shabbos, a wallet, a money bag, whatever, chayev, then he's chayev. We don't say that come later the rabbi like this for taking it out of from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev stealer. For stealing, he's going to be chayev paying. If they came at the same time, we would say kamlin did abimine. The fact that he got misa overrides the chiyuv of mamon, as we learn from Sukkim, as we learn back in Ksubas. But in this case, he's chayev to pay. Shekvan is chayev the gneva kodim shiyav the days of Shabbos, because he already became chayev in paying for the gneva from when he did akbar, because as soon as he picked it up, he's koinet. And for Shabbos, he only becomes chayev in Shabbos till he actually takes it out. When he actually takes it out, which was the yachid. So therefore, the chiyuv of gneva came first. That part is not the part that's the problem. The problem is the next part. How you megara v'yotze, megara v'yotze. What if he's dragging out the money bag and then pulling it out? Potter. Then he's potter from paying. Shari itzur Shabbos of Gneva boyin kachot. Because then the itzur Shabbos of taking it out into Rosh Hashanah and the itzur Gneva of taking it out of the other guy's Rosh Hashanah come at the same time. How do we know
that they come at the same time?
Because that's fact of the matter is they do. He's not koinet. There's two ways that a ganav can be koinet something. One is that in the sense that he becomes chayev for the oinsin and whatever. One is using one of the regular methods of kinyan, such as picking it up. Or the other way is taking it out of the reshus of the person he stole it from.
Oh. That contradicts completely what
that's what we're trying to figure out.
Here we say that.
Barikis the bar hagbahu, v'afilo hachi koni b'mashicha. So you, a money bag is something that can be picked up, and yet you're telling me that he's capable of being koneh by mashicha, by doing mashicha from the other guy's reshus into a sinter or whatever, where he'd be koneh or whatever. By the way, if he pulls it out into Rosh Hashanah, of course he's not koneh yet, because we just said he can't be koneh with mashicha and Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we mean that he brought it into a sinter or a sinter or Rosh Hashanah or whatever. Okay.
So what we're trying to analyze is whether it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Right.
But you see over here that even though a money bag can, hagbah is capable of being done, but instead you can be koneh with mashicha.
Money back.
That's the answer. Well, wait.
I was going to say that. You beat me to it.
Omalei, so Abaya answers him. Abaya answers him. Hold on. Okay. Omalei, Abaya answers him. The misna. It's talking about the kind of, misna means strapped. It's the kind of money bag that has straps or a rope or something attached to it. He says, "Ananami, Mr. Kamina." So Rav Adab Amasna says, "I don't understand. I know we're talking about that it has a strap or whatever. So what? What's that make a difference?" Omalei b'midi boy misna. No, what I mean to say is, in other words, it's so heavy that it needs you have to schlep it along because it's not capable of being picked up. So that's the kind of case we even turn over machine. But not to say, if it was a lighter one that would work, then you wouldn't say then you would say that it's not Isur Shabbos or Gneva Boyin Kecha. There's only an Isur Shabbos. There's no Isur Gneva anyway because he wasn't turning yet.
So wait a minute. If there is a misnah and not enough money and in the bank. So he can
then he's capable of being derived. Right, we're talking about where it's heavy enough that it needs that it can only be moved by means of the mitzvah.
Okay.
That it can only be moved by means of a strap. Yeah.
Is that question? Does it mean the ration safe is different?
No,
Rish is talking about a piece which you couldn't pick up.
No. So the first one is talking about because in the normal case where he picks it up versus the second case, Megara v'yotze. Usually it wouldn't be Megara, a small size one. Usually Megara would typically be a large one where the only way to get it out is by slapping it.
And we don't want to say it's a very small person.
Okay. From, let's prove again from the Braisa that we learned at Behe Amar Aleph, the Braisa with the four cases, we said that if you're in the Rishus of the Mocher, you're not Kona until you lift it up or until you take it out of the Rishus. Which implies we're talking about something which you're capable of picking up, because we're saying Abshag Bihana, and still we're saying you don't have to do Hagbah. Instead, you could choose to do Mashicha, to schlep it out of his Rishus and bring it into your own, and that also works. What about, yeah, this is what Rav Chista and Rav Hanna said, yeah, it doesn't fit with it, yeah. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok Tzadin Katzani. You have to explain that that part of the Braisa is talking about two different cases. The tzadim means to the side. In other words, you say that one phrase is talking about one case, the other phrase is talking about another case. Midi debar hagbar b'hagbar, something which is light, which is capable of being picked up, you can the way to be coined ad shiag bihena until you lift it up. Something which is heavier, midi debar meshicha, something which is not capable of being picked up, it can only be pulled from one place to another, b'meshicha. So in other words, when we say ad shiag bihena, ad shiag bihena mirushosle, doesn't mean we're talking about the same object. We're talking about if it's a light object versus a heavy object, yeah.
For completeness, we say both.
Yeah, so for completeness, we say both, yeah. Toshma. Okay, well now let's try to prove the answer to this one way or the other from our own Mishnah, the Mishnah that we had on page Aleph Amud Beis two blocks ago. Hamurcha peiros lachaveira. If somebody sells peiros to somebody else, moshach v'le modad koni. We said if he does meshicha but he didn't measure it out, he's koneh. Well, peiros the b'neag banin. Peiros can be lifted up. That's the answer. We're not just talking about individual food. Yeah. We're talking about a huge bag of food, a huge load of food.
So it is consistent.
The question is, Yochi Ema Seifa. Fine, but what about then the next part of the of the Mishnah? We said if you buy flax from somebody else, you're not kona unless you move it from one place to another. Don't people commonly sell flax in big bundles also? Why should it be any different? What? Lachora, flax.
You have to put it on a donkey, we said.
Yeah, so Lachora can also be in big containers. The answer is shiny pishtun and mishtamit. Yes, but the difference is that flax is slippery. They don't usually make such big things of it. It's more usual to make it in small bundles because otherwise pieces will slip out. Therefore, it's capable of being picked up, as opposed to peiros are commonly put into very large sacks.
What does that have to do with being picked up? The fact that it's slippery.
Therefore, to begin with, you don't put pishtun in very large containers.
You ever try to pick up something on slippery?
Because it'll slip out. If you put it into a large container, some of it will slip out. Yeah. The Rebbe Nagershim explains it differently. He says that what it means is that you. If you have a large bundle of flax, you could conceivably take out pieces until it's light enough to be lifted up. As opposed to peiros, you're not going to take out individual grains or whatever from it until it gets light enough, therefore that's different. So we'll continue tomorrow, Hashem.